Tom, Jaina, Tasmai, Shigurubai, and Mahar. As I mentioned, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Shivas Thakur, and so we're going to talk about Shivas Thakur in class. So first of all, we should understand something about the Panchatattva. Just like you were worshipping the Panchatattva here. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. So, the members of the Panchatattva represent the five truths. That's what tattva means. Mm. And the five truths. Of course, let's understand what a truth is. That's very interesting, or a tattva. A truth is, as described by Krishna in the Gita, nasato vijite bhavo nabhavo vijite sataha ubiyar api prishto antvas that the sages have understood truth to be those things which continue to exist. Untruth or illusion are those things that what? Come into being and disappear. Like the material world. What is it? Bhutva, bhutva, paliyate. Sometimes it's manifest, sometimes it's unmanifest. Or as Srila Prabhupada said, the whole show is only temporary. It's like a theatrical show, or as this famous playwright William Shakespeare said, life is but a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage, and then is heard no more, right? Or Srila Prabhupada also said, life is but a dream. It's a dream that lasts for maybe 80, 90 years, just like we have a dream at night, it lasts for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then after that, it's over. Finished. Like when you pass away after maybe 100 years, nobody will remember you. Or your name or anything about you. Finished. And you're so proud, you know, decorating your body with jewelry and everything like that. But nobody will even care. Maybe there'll be a stone, like in some cemetery. So-and-so Das or so-and-so Dasi. Like that. So, the sages have said that those things which are temporary are not real. And those things which continue to exist, they're real. So there's absolute truth and relative truth. You know, there's also relative truth within this world. Let's say I look at a frog. Everybody knows what a frog is? And I say, the frog is ugly. That's a relative truth. Because if you have a female frog, the frog will think the frog is handsome. And that sort of relativity, just put it right here, that sort of relativity exists, practically speaking, everywhere. Just like we think we are good looking, but the demigods, they look at us and they think we are looking like frogs. No matter how handsome or attractive you are, you look like a frog to a demigod. So they're not interested. And what to speak of the beauty of Krishna compared to the beauty of the spiritual world and the inhabitants in the spiritual world? Our bodies, you can't even compare them to frogs. Isn't it? Just like, it's incredible. So this is all relative. You understand? You understand relative, like one person is taller than another person, one person is stronger than another person. And of course, absolutely, Krishna is stronger than anyone else, more attractive than anyone else. He's more intelligent than anyone else, more renowned than anyone else, more famous than anyone else. So this is quality of Bhagwan. So these are absolute things. So when we talk about Siddhanta, we're talking about absolute things, or tattva. Okay, so we got five members of the Panchatattva. Pancha means five. So first, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is sarvakarana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. That's what it means to be a tattva. You know, supreme tattva. Param tattva. So, being the cause of all causes, there's no cause for him. Like, there's a cause for us. We are mami vamsa jivaloke jivabhuta sanata. We're part and parcel of Krishna, but there's no cause for Krishna. Sometimes people ask me the question, why is Lord Chaitanya golden? I mean, there's a philosophical reason. Or why is Krishna blue? Just because they want to. There's no cause. Why are you a certain color? Because your parents were a certain color. And the genes. There's a cause. You understand? There's a cause. Why do you look like that? Your head is a certain shape. You wear glasses. Your eyes are a certain color. Because of your genes. And the parents had genes. And the parents' parents had genes. If you go all the way back to the original parent, that's Govindamadi Purusham Tamahamajami. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, and he is the cause of all causes. He's supreme tattva. And he is in that mood because he is trying to understand Srimati Radharani's love for him. He is trying to appreciate himself from his own, her perspective, her point of view. And he's trying to enjoy like his devotees enjoy, because Krishna sees his devotees are enjoying chanting and dancing, and Krishna wants to do the same thing. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna gets a little envious of his devotees. Because it's interesting, as far as bhakti is concerned, Krishna doesn't give bhakti, it's his devotees who give bhakti, because bhakti is independent, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So you have Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram, the original spiritual master. Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, then Advaita, who is Mahavishnu, Sarashiva, the material cause of this creation, that means the ingredient cause, not in material in the sense of bad, but ingredient cause. Gadadhar, who is expansion of Radharani, who is in the submissive mood in relationship to Sri Chaitanya. And then finally you have Srivas, who represents Jiva Tattva. So there's a tattva. They're all tattvas. The Shakti tattva, Jiva tattva, Vishnu tattva. The three tattvas. Everybody understands that? Vishnu tattva, right? Jiva tattva, Shakti tattva. Radharani Shakti. So it means that Vishnu Shakti para parokta, Shetragya kripata para, Vidikarma samgyanya, Kritir Shakti ishite. This is also from the Vishnu Purana. That Krishna has three Shaktis, the internal, external, and marginal. Okay? And Srivas is considered to be the incarnation of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a jiva soul who is always preaching Krishna consciousness in all the different levels of involvement. So, a little bit of philosophy there. So, let's get on with the pastime of Srivas Thakur. First we'll read a verse from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And this Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. In Vrindavan Dham lived a holy pandit named Sri Srivas. And in his temple, Lord Chaitanya performed his sweet vilas, as a poem, pastime. That's what vilas means. Srivas and his brothers always sang the holy name and did their Krishna puja and Ganges bath three times a day. Okay, so Srivas Thakur had two brothers, and it's they appeared in a place called Srihatta. And after some time, they moved to Navadvip to be close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, they moved to be close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. And their place is called Srivas Angam. And those of you who have been to Mayapur have seen the Srivasangam, which is right, a few meters away, maybe 50 meters away or 75 meters away from the Yoga Pith. Has anyone been there? Some of you have been there, yeah. Yoga Pith is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared under the moon tree. So the Srivasangam, and right next to that is Advaita Bhavan, which is Advaita Acharya's place. And then down the road a little bit from that is the Chaitanya Math, which is the math founded by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in that math is the Samadhi of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the deities of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is Gandharvika Giridhari, after which the deities in Sweden were named. Gandharvika Giridhari. So, Gandharvika is the name of Radharani, of course, Giridhari is the liquor of Actually, left. Golden-eyed head. Okay. So, they had great devotion for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in fact, Sri Ram, his brother, was considered an incarnation of Parvatmuni, who was Narada-muni's eternal associate. Narada-muni and Parvatmuni, they traveled together. So they moved to Navadvip, and when they moved to Navadvip, they moved very close, they said, to Sachimata's house. And they were roughly the same age as Lord Chaitanya's parents. And so Srivast Thakur's wife's name was Malini Devi. And they all began to pray for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaita Acharya prayed, offering Ganges water and tulsi leaf, that Krishna would appear. And soon after that, of course, we had Visvarup, who was Lord Chaitanya's brother, and then Sachimata became pregnant with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nimai. And being pregnant, Malini, who was Srivast Thakur's wife, began to serve Sachimata. There's many, many pastimes that occurred while Sachimata was pregnant. One of them was that Advaita Acharya would regularly go there and circumambulate Sachimata and rub sandalwood on her womb. That was quite unusual. And you can imagine. Of course, Advaita Acharya was far older than the rest of them. So, as Lord Chaitanya grew up, he began to manifest pastimes of a scholar rather than pastimes as a devotee. There's a reason for this. He wanted to show that without approaching the spiritual master, one can't have devotional service in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Srila Prabhupada commented, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us as a teacher teaches his students. Sometimes it appears that a teacher is learning the subject matter, and he goes, students, how much is one and one? And it appears like he doesn't know it. But for the sake of instruction and example, he appears to learn along with the students. So the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest his ecstatic symptoms, at least publicly, until he took initiation from Ishwara Puri. So this bewildered the devotees like Srivast Thakur. And so Srivast Thakur got so disturbed with Lord Chaitanya, because in fact Lord Chaitanya would go to the Vaishnavas and defeat them philosophically. You know, what is your philosophy? Well, I believe in Krishna. Well, Lord Chaitanya would say, well, here's some other philosophy. Whatever you say, I can defeat you. He's very exhibiting the symptoms of being a very proud person. So Srivast Thakur one time went to him, and he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is a quote from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, why do people study? What do they really want to know and understand? What is the true object of knowledge? Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. For if you study, and one studies so many subjects, but he has no understanding of Krishna, all of his learning is useless. You are reading and studying and hearing so many lectures on different subjects. You should perform Krishna Bhajan. Imagine, he was talking to Nimai, to Lord Chaitanya. And apply your intelligence to that. Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya replied, by your mercy, it shall be come to pass. By your mercy, I shall certainly attain Krishna Bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing that by a Vaishnava's mercy, we can get Krishna Bhakti. We're completely dependent on a Vaishnava's mercy. So also, Lord Chaitanya stated at that particular point that when I become a devotee, this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, I will become such a great devotee that even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma will worship me. So Srivast Thakur and the rest of the Vaishnavas were thinking, this is a very proud boy. You can imagine someone joining the movement, you know, new bhakta comes in and says, I'm going to become such a great devotee, the demigods will worship me, all your ISKCON gurus are less than me. You would say, maybe you should join some other movement. Isn't it? If he came and said that? Sure, that would be terrible. He said, you need to go to the new bhakta training. you need, what do they say in Hindi? A lati. Lati in Hindi means a stick. And that's the training you need first. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya. And Gaya, of course, is where the footprints of Lord Vishnu are. And people go to perform Pinda. Pinda is the ceremony which sons go to offer things to their ancestors so their ancestors will be freed from hell. Therefore, children in the Vedic system are called putras. You've all heard this word before, putra? Putra means he who saves one from hell. So the son saves the father from hell because he enables the father to stay in Pitri Loka, which is like a vacation spot. It's like the coast here, the Adriatic coast. It's like if one goes and goes to a hotel on the Adriatic coast, you have to pay money, right? Nothing's free. And what happens when your money runs out? You have to come back here. And you only get 3 weeks a year, or 4 weeks a year of vacation, then you have to come back here and work in the city for another year. So that's like the system, the karma kanja system, that one works very hard, performing nice karmas, you know, a lot of offerings to the demigods and the forefathers, and then you get to Pitri Loka, which is like the coast of the Adriatic. And when your good karma runs out, Chine Punye Marcha Lokam Vishanti, you come back here. So instead, if you have a good son, he can give you a lot of good karma. So I'm not saying everybody should have a son. That's the karma kanja process, not the bhakti process. But if you have a son or a good daughter, putra, putri, then they can do some things and keep you in heaven for a while. And keep you on the Adriatic coast. Pay your credit card bill, so to speak. So, anyways, so let's get back to the point. So Lord Chaitanya was showing this when he went to... He was following the certain aspects of the karma kanja process, just not to disturb people's minds and to fit in with society. You find, this is very interesting, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached according to time, place, and circumstance. He didn't disturb anyone's mind. In other words, he accepted many of the cultural norms so that people would accept what he was teaching. So we have to learn this art too. That when we're preaching Krishna consciousness, we can't appear so weird that people don't accept what we're saying. So we have to package Krishna consciousness in such a way that people will accept it. Very interesting point. So, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, then he began to manifest his devotional mood and also his mood as the Supreme Controller. And he said to Srivas Thakur, one time in Srivas Thakur's house after Lord Chaitanya came back from Gaya, this is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He said, "To whom have you worshipped? On whom have you meditated? Now see him. Look upon the object of your worship. Shivas, who have you worshipped? Look directly upon him whom you worshipped." So he was saying, basically, I'm God. It was a little confusing for Shivas in the beginning. You know, previously there was this scholar, and he was defeating everybody, and now he's saying he's God. Pretty confusing. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the pujari room, into the Didi room, and sat on the altar. That's even more shocking, isn't it? You know, your new bhakta goes on the altar. But then he showed he was God, because he manifested four arms. If someone does that, you know he's Vishnu. And there was a conch, disc, club, and lotus in each of the hands. And then Srivas Thakur saw this and he understood that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srivas Thakur, this is another quote from Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, "I have heard your loud chanting and Advaita's roaring of the holy name of Krishna. And hearing their calls, I have left Vaikuntha and appeared here in this material world with my eternal associates. I have come to punish the wicked and deliver the saintly. If you want to become fearless, perform Sankirtan." So listening to this, Srivas Thakur fell down, what we call prostrate on the earth. That means dandavats, you know, everything on the earth. And he says the following prayer. Unto the lotus feet of Chaitanya Vishvambar, whose dress is like a yellow cloud, I make my namaskar, its obeisances. I bow before Krishna, who is Mother Sachi's son, bedecked with gunjamala and peacock plume, bright as the sun. Bright as a million moons, whose cooling rays eclipse the stars, do Ganga Das Pandit's Nimai, 100 namaskars. So Ganga Das Pandit was Lord Chaitanya's instructor or teacher. With horn of buffalo and coward stick and bamboo flute, Lord Krishna played, and you are he, the Godhead, supreme truth. The Vedas sing the glories of Krishna, Nanda Kumar, and thou art he, and before your feet, my namaskar. My birth and work have reached complete fulfillment here today. My life is drawn anew, auspicious is mine today. My ancestors have surely found salvation on this day. My home and wealth have reached their true perfection on this day. My fortune knows no earthly bounds upon this holy day. The blissful vision of your holy feet bless me today. So Srivastava Thakura offered all these prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued to give Srivastava Thakura darshan of his holy form. So regularly after that, Lord Chaitanya would hold his kirtans in Srivastava Thakura's house. And in those kirtans, someone who was not a pure devotee was not allowed. They kept someone at the door of Srivasandam, and they checked to see if they were pure devotees. I don't know how they checked, but they checked. If they were absolutely pure devotees, they let them in. And there's this interesting story of Srivastava Thakura's niece. His niece was named Narayani. His niece was named Narayani, and Narayani was 4 years old, little girl. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Srivastava Thakura's house said to Narayani, gave her some prasadam, and he said, chant Krishna, Krishna. And when she heard the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she started rolling on the ground in ecstasy and crying out, Krishna, 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 little four-year-old girl. Of course, later on, she became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Very, very interesting. She's a great pure devotee of the Lord. So this Srivasandam was filled with happiness 24 hours a day. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes have kirtans for 72 hours without stopping. Did you ever do that here? You had a 24-hour kirtan, right? You never did a 72-hour kirtan. Too bad. And then there was one devotee, his name was Vrakeshwara Pandit, who would dance for all 72 hours. He wouldn't stop. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu commented about Vrakeshwara Pandit. He said, if I had two devotees like Vrakeshwara Pandit, because he's like a bird with a wing, he said, I could fly in the air. 72 hours of dancing. And Lord Chaitanya blessed all the associates and servants of Srivastava Thakura. Srivastava Thakura had one maid. Her name was Duki, and Lord Chaitanya changed her name to Suki. Duki means unhappiness, and Suki means happiness. Some other pastimes occurred there. Wonderful pastimes are told in the Chaitanya Bhagavata Chaitanya Charitamrita. One was the mother-in-law of Srivastava Thakura, who wasn't a pure devotee. And she wanted to see the kirtan. So in order to see the kirtan, she went behind the curtain and was watching the chanting. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could feel the energy. In other words, it wasn't so much, it was a lack of pure devotional energy. She was a devotee. And so he was chanting, he says, there's no ecstasy today. I'm not feeling any ecstasy. There must be some rascal in here. So they looked all around and found Srivastava Thakura's mother-in-law behind the curtain. And they took her. That's an interesting mother-in-law story. So they just kicked her out, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some ecstasy after that. So Lord Nityananda, of course, would also be dancing in the house of Srivastava Thakura. Another story told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat is the story of Srivastava Thakura's son. He had one son. And Lord Chaitanya was conducting his kirtan. They were chanting, dancing in ecstasy. And then Srivas Thakur noticed that some of the ladies were crying. And it wasn't crying out of ecstasy. They had painful crying. And so we went to them and said, "What's the problem?" And they explained, "Your son has just died." And Srivas Thakur said, "Don't cry. Check your tears. This is just life. Because this person, this son, has heard the holy names of Krishna at the time of death. So he's going back to Godhead. So you should honor the boy as a great Vaishnava." But Srivas Thakur said, "If you cannot stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about." So they were scared. They didn't know. But Srivas Thakur manifested sometimes a little temper. So he actually threatened, he said, "If you disturb this kirtan, I'm going to go to the Ganges and drown myself." So they had to, imagine all the ladies just holding back their tears. Very hard for the ladies, isn't it? So they had to hold back the tears and smile during the kirtan. So then after the kirtan was over, Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt something. He said, "What is the problem? Something happened here." He said, "Within my mind, I understand some great sorrow has affected this house." And Srivas Thakur said, "Actually, my son died, but I didn't want to disturb your kirtan." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Why didn't you tell me about this?" He said, "I thought your kirtan was most important, and my son died hearing the holy name." He said, "If I had broken the flow of your kirtan and stopped you from dancing, that would have been a fate worse than death for me." So hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "How can I renounce your association, Srivas Thakur?" And then he went to the place where the boy was lying, the body was lying, and he said, "Oh boy, why did you renounce Srivas Thakur's association and go away?" And then the boy began to speak, came back to life, and spoke some philosophy. And he glorified Lord Chaitanya. "First, you were the creator and the enjoyer of everything. But I died hearing your wonderful kirtan, and I've gone back to home, back to Godhead." So then the boy became silent, left his body again. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivas Thakur, "From this day forward, myself and Lord Nityananda will be your sons. Because you have given up everything for us." So even after that, there's some stories about how Lord Nityananda, he would sit on the lap of Malini Devi and be fed by her. And remember, they're all adults. We're not talking about, you know, Lord Nityananda like this. We're talking about Lord Nityananda like that. And so and Lini Devi, she was much older, of course, but he would sit, this big grown man, like 2.5 meters tall or something, would sit on the Lini Devi's lap, and she would sometimes even breastfeed. There's many pastimes that occurred there. That one time, Lord Nityananda was there, and a crow stole the pot that they used for keeping the ghee in. You know, the crow just grabbed it. In India, they have big crows. Here, you don't have big crows. But in India, the crow is this big. It's a big crow. I've seen it. It's like Jatayu. And so he stole this ghee pot, and Malini was crying. "How can I face my husband? My husband has a temper. He's going to be really angry at me." And then Lord Nityananda said, "Okay, crow, bring it back." And so the crow obediently brought the pot back. And that happened at Srivas Thakur's house. So then, shortly after that, he passed on. Lord Chaitanya, when he was 24, took sannyas, and he went to Jagannath Puri, and he traveled all around India. And Srivas Thakur would go regularly with the other Vaishnavas to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then he moved back to Srihat, which is the original birthplace, because he couldn't bear to be in Navadvipa anymore. feeling the great separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are some of the stories about Srivast Thakur, and today we should remember Srivast Thakur, pray to Srivast Thakur for his mercy, and glorify him as Narada Muni. So any questions or comments about these different points or stories? Yes. Srivast Thakur is praying to the devotees, which is interesting. As I mentioned in the beginning of this whole discussion, bhakti doesn't come from Krishna, which is really interesting. You know, sometimes we pray to Krishna for devotion, but bhakti is independent, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And so bhakti resides in the heart of a devotee. So by serving a devotee, what is that? Mahat Seva Mahuragi Muktes, Tamodvaram Yashitam Sanghi Sangam. By serving a Vaishnava, one can get the pure devotional service from Krishna. Just like, but if one tries to jump prematurely, they won't be successful. Just like we see sometimes nowadays, that people want to jump too much into the infinite loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna without serving His divine grace to the Prabhupada. I recently got a letter from someone, and they complained that I was always telling them to go out and preach. They said, you know, when we were with you, you're always telling us to go out and preach and share Krishna consciousness. But I feel more nectar just going to the Babaji's at Radhakund. And I was thinking, either this person is, you know, internally liberated devotee, that's one alternative, or they're a Maya. You got two alternatives. And the point is that if we really want to understand the loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna, Heno Nitai Vinayvai, Radha Krishna Poite Nai, as Narottamadas Thakur says, then we have to please Lord Nityananda. It is not simply to jump up to Radha and Krishna that can chant, what is it? Radhe, 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 Radhe. You know, sometimes we hear this. So let me chant Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And in Vrindavan, there's this chant, Radhe, Radhe, Shamilade. Anyone heard that before? And the people respond, Shamilade, Radhe, Radhe. And it's like a whole game you play with people. Radhe, Radhe, Shamilade. Jama Rade, Rade, Rade. Those of you who've been to Vrindavan understand what I'm saying. But really, if we want Radha's service, which is ultimately the goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, then Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan. We have to execute the Yuga Dharma, which is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Okay, Sankirtan has two meanings. It's interesting. It means congregational chanting. Does anyone else know what it means? There's another meaning. It means complete chanting. It means completely absorbed chanting. There's two meanings of that word. It's important to understand both meanings. That means to be completely absorbed in the holy name and also to give other people the holy name. And my personal experience in Krishna consciousness is the most realizations come when we're preaching. My most ecstatic days in Krishna consciousness were when I was going on book distribution. Now I'm just stuck in, you know, just being the so-called leader. Right? So-called leader, you know, just enjoying eating opulent food and everything. But in the old days, I enjoyed more. Because we'd go out from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And then by doing that, when we came back, we experienced so much ecstasy, we could not sleep. Every time we would listen to Srila Prabhupada's tapes. Those days, people had tapes. Remember tapes? Yeah. Nobody had tapes. MP3s. In the future, they'll implant things in your skin, right? You don't even need iPods anymore. So we listen to tapes, and the tapes you could experience Prabhupada's bhavas when you were preaching like that. Anyone who's gone out in book distribution for long periods of time has experienced that when you come back. The mind is crystal clear. What is it? Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Bhava Mahatva. The mirror of the mind becomes cleansed, so one is able to really see things. It's like someone has wiped your glasses off. And suddenly you can see things. So my experience, and our Acharya's experience is, and our Acharya's philosophy is, that by doing the Sankirtan Yajna, then you can enter into the higher understandings of Krishna consciousness. But if you just jump up, then it's like Hanuman trying to imitate Hanuman by jumping across the ocean. Hanuman jumped 800 miles. It's called 80 yojanas. That's about 1,200 kilometers, for those who think in kilometers. Can you jump 1,200 kilometers? In the Olympics, what's the farthest anyone can jump? Does anyone know? Nobody knows Olympics here. He knows. He's expert. 7.5 meters. 7.5 meters. 8 meters. Okay. 9 meters. Okay. Do I hear 10? 11? Okay. 9 meters. That's a lot. That means I get more than jump across the room, right? I don't feel like it. I could just jump out the window right from here. So, but Hanuman, he could jump 1,200 kilometers, or more, actually. He had to jump more. Because he jumped one time from Sri Lanka all the way to the Himalayas to get the Mrityu Sanjeevani, to cure Lakshman. How far is that? That's about 5,000 kilometers, right? So, none of us can jump that far. And if you could, you wouldn't be a member of the Hare Krishna movement. So none of us can jump that far. But we certainly can't jump back to the highest understanding of Krishna consciousness. But if you're riding on Hanuman's back, when Lord Ram was going from India to Lanka, he was riding on Hanuman's back. So he was able to go through the air too. Interesting. So in the same way, when we ride on Lord Nityananda's feet, not on his back, by preaching Krishna consciousness, sharing, just like you have the Padyatra, that's sharing Krishna consciousness with so many people, then going back to God, that's easy. Or becoming a pure devotee is very easy. So Shivas Thakur is showing this in his prayerful mood. He is praying for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada said, when someone said, Prabhupada, I want the mercy of your lotus feet, Prabhupada said, my lotus feet are always moving. So you have to keep moving. Like one time I was walking, many times, walking on the beach with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada walked very fast, but I would have walk behind him and grab the sand, the sand from his footprints, and put it in my mouth. So, we should do that also, but it really means to preach. When you preach or share Krishna consciousness or give prasadam or give the holy names, you really get some special nectar from the Vaishnavas, from the past acharyas, from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, from the whole disciplic succession. But if you jump, then the disciplic succession is not helping you anymore. Right? I need help. Maybe the rest of you don't need help, but I need help from the disciplic succession. So any other questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah, not true.
Sometimes, what is the difference between something that has reality, is temporary, and something that is imagined? Because, for instance, if we take Prabhupada's books, the book has a beginning and an end itself, the body of the book.
Right.
But the truth that the book...
The knowledge is a tattva. The book is not a tattva. That what's contained in the book is a tattva. Yeah. I mean, just like we're talking here, my body is not... I mean, the energy from which my body is composed is a tattva. Because the energy is... just like we see in science, what is it? Energy is neither created nor destroyed, it's changing form, matter. You know, there's scientists back there will tell you all this. So, sometimes this energy from which my body is composed merges into the body of the Lord, that's called pradana. That means the ingredient cause of the material creation. It's not, the energy is not destroyed, it just changes in form. And later on it becomes manifest again as what? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, vinaprakriti, ashtadav. So that the energy is the truth, but the manifestation is temporary. You know, this energy is Krishna's energy. You know, that's true. That's a tattva right there. However, it changes in form. So, saying that this is always a table is not true. Sometimes this table will be... I mean, after a while, probably someone will use the table for firewood. And after that, it will be like smoke or whatever, energy, you know, heat energy. And then at the time of the cosmic dissolution, it merges into the... It becomes part of the pradana. Little philosophy there. But anyway, but of course, we don't want to walk around saying, you know, nothing is real. Then it gets really weird. You know, you're not real, I'm not real, the room's not real. Then you might as well just sing that song of the Beatles, what, Strawberry Fields Forever? You ever hear that song? Nothing is real. You know, that's not really our philosophy, but as far as tattva's ultimate reality, absolute reality, this is the discussion. I mean, obviously this is a real table. It's not unreal. It's interesting, if you study Greek philosophy, there's this whole concept in Plato about the world of forms. I don't know, anyone here ever read Plato? As it talks about a world of forms. Like that this table, he would say this table is not real, but the idea of tableness is a reality. It's interesting. I mean, it has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. But... No, but you could say that like Krishna has all the plans of the material creation. He knows about them all, so the concepts are real. Yeah, he would say that. The concept of what the material world will be, in general ideas, yeah. There is a world, or is in Krishna's mind, all these things are there. So you can say the world of forms is actually in Krishna's mind. Those who study Plato, anyone else study Plato here? No? He's from nearby. You know, if I know about Plato, I'm from far away from where Plato is, and you're his neighbor, practically.
I read the Plato
Speech. No, it's out of the... No, it's not there. It's the what? No, I forget the name. I'll let you know later. From Plato's works. He talks about the world of form. Anyway, what? No, that's a Socratic dialogue. That's different. But there's a whole book where Plato talks about... He also talks about Varnashram, too. Which is really interesting. And as you can see, Plato was influenced by the Vedic literatures. Because Plato was a follower of Socrates, and Socrates was a follower of Pythagoras. And Pythagoras? Anyone's heard of Pythagoras? You know, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Pythagoras had temples, and he was a vegetarian, he was... I would say he was almost Hindu, because he had actually taken part in some of the Vedic culture. And you see, Pythagoras got his Pythagorean theorem from India, because mathematics originated in India. All the things that we Western people are so proud of came from India. But we people in the West are so proud that we came up with theories to try to prove that we're the best. And that's why they have the Aryan invasion theory, which is simply an invention of the Western mind to sort of justify what they think is cultural superiority. That's another class. I'm not going to give that class to it. Okay, I think we have to end. Time for prasadam. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Srila Thakur, Ki Jai. Srila Thakur, Ki Jai. Ananda, Ki Jai.
So I was wondering what to do. Should we just like have them here at the beginning, or maybe later just have a darshan to give them some special attention? What would you suggest?
Where would you put them? Where are you going to put
them? We will have the table here in the corner.
Well, it's good to have them for the whole ceremony, if you can.
Yeah, so then I will prepare them.
Yeah, that would be good if they're here.
So should we like close them and then have some...
Yeah, in the beginning we greet the end.
So then you can do some...
Yeah, we do some. Just one little... Just a Tulsi leaf. So they can't take sugar. Thank you. How many people were watching?
12.
I had more. I'm watching this.
I had trouble with audio. I have to change the cable here.
Oh, they couldn't hear or what?
It was, there was noise. The last 15 or so minutes, I kind of managed to, you know, twist that cable in a certain way, but I'm going to change that.
The thing I wanted to ask you was, you wouldn't happen to have your deity's plates, would you?
I do, yeah.
You do?
You don't have any other plates?
No. I mean, we do have plates for deities which are, you know, here in the temple.
Yeah.
But I would just...
Yeah, you can use my deity
so
plates.
So probably Adi Lila gave them
No, yeah. She never gave me. I had, these are the ones I travel with all the time.
Oh, those are the ones. Okay.
Yeah, she never gave me anything.
Okay. So we were just thinking of...
Yeah, I can give you that.
I have to serve in those.
No, I have. I'll give it to you.
I'm going to go with you guys.